We started a series last week called Lost and Found. Lost and Found. And so the whole idea is just talking about kind of things that we've lost and things that we've found in Christ. And so that was the introduction last week. I was going to get into the kind of the specifics this week, but I honestly, all week long, I just couldn't get past the introduction. So this is introduction part two. This could be a 30-week series. Just kidding. But there was so much more good stuff that before we got launched right into like the exact specific things that we do have in Christ, that just kind of setting up why that's really important. And so I'm going to run through the series this week. It's called My Way or the Highway. Have you ever said that to anybody or had anyone say that to you? Well, if you notice, highway is spelt in two words, highway. So it's my way or the highway. See what I did there? Yeah. See? I could be done right now. My way. And like, could be, you guys, you know what all that reaction was? All that reaction was it settling in your spirit like, oh, that's right. We do that, don't we? That's kind of the conflict, isn't it? It's, am I going to do this my way or God's way? Am I going to do it heaven's way or do this my way? So I want to just flip through last week's message. If I can. There, whoops. Do you remember? This was the main point from last time. What's going on inside of you is far more important than what's going on around you. It's an inside job. We talked about that. It's an inside of us. That's where the critical things that are happening. So often, this was the message from last time. This is just a recap. We spend all of our energy and all of our time and all of our resources focusing on changing the outside things. If she would just stop saying that, or if he would just close the lid on the toilet, like I would, you know what I mean? Or whatever the thing is. If my life just, if I lived over here, if I didn't have this job, if my boss would just, and we just fill in the blanks, and we want to manipulate what's going on outside of us so that our insides feel better. Or does no one else do that? We all do that, don't we? It's just, it's how we're wired. It's just the state of our fallen condition is we want to change things. This is making me feel this way. It's making me feel insecure or angry or sad or unhappy or I'm in just in turmoil emotionally. So if I could change that, then I would be better. No, if you could change that, you would still have the same deficit in you that you did when it started. That's not the important thing. The important thing is what's going on inside of me. Not that the circumstances aren't critical and important. I'm not saying that. But as far as us surviving and thriving and growing and being who God wants us to be, we can do it my way or we can do it the highway. And so it's if we always try to change, then we end up manipulating, trying to manipulate people, trying to manipulate jobs. Yes. And I'm sure we've all got those examples. We're quick to come up with examples of how, we don't like to phrase it like this, but of how we wanted to manipulate a situation outside of us, whether that's a person or an event, or this is what's making me be an icky person on the inside. No, icky person was already there. I should tell the story. This is not a good, like I should save it for an example, but it's so fresh and it's so funny. So I got a virus on my phone the other night, and that doesn't happen very often. So I was in Bible Gateway, and I kept trying to go to different Bible verses. And let me just preface it with saying, the last couple days, this has been a little grumpy. Just saying, it's been a little tense for my family because Papa Bear's just been a little bit grumbly. That's a nice way of putting it. So I'm reading my Bible, and I'm not connecting the dots. I'm just trying to read my Bible on my phone and getting frustrated because I'm already grumpy, right? And so getting frustrated that this stupid Angry Birds things pop up on my phone. And every time I try to click out of it, it's a big red screen would come up and say, "You're going to a harmful place." I I still haven't connected the dots. So I'm telling Martin, and it was all legitimate. I mean, I really did get a virus. It really popped up with Angry Birds and really said, big red screen, you're going to a harmful place. So I'm telling Marnie, like, I got this virus on my phone, and I'm just trying to read my Bible verses, and then these Angry Birds come up, and it says I'm going to a harmful place. She said, you sure that's not God? Just saying. I smiled. I installed some virus malware software and cleaned up the phone, and I said, point taken. I got it. God can get our attention in a lot of different ways, can he? It's an inside job. This is a couple points from last time. What we gaze on becomes magnified. There's two kingdoms for fighting for in a battle for our attention, fighting for what we want to focus on. And it's not denying that the circumstances are real. It's not saying that they don't exist. But what are we spending our time magnifying, focusing on? Because what we stare at, what we look at, what we talk about, what we dwell on, that becomes magnified. And what becomes magnified inside of us gets transmitted to the outside of us. Because we have creative power. We're not just creatures of instinct. We have this ability, this God-given ability, because we're created in his nature to create things. We can create hope. We can create despair. We can create fear. We can create all those things by our words, by our imaginations. And that's a power from God that Satan corrupted a long time ago in the garden. But it's still a good power. It's still his image. It's his. We're borrowing some of his creative ability. And so it's meant to be used with, and you know, in the Garden of Eden, they were naming animals and creating, you know, just spaces of intimacy. Well, now we create distance and we create fear and we create all kinds of things. And so we talked about that a little bit last time. We talked about something else. This one was good. We're going to talk a little more about this one today. Behavior follows belief. Behavior follows belief. So often in our churches, in our lives, in our marriages, with our kids, especially with our kids, I know there's parents, we focus on behavior. When you do this, blah, blah, blah. You can't do this because blah, blah, blah. And we're so focused on behavior. In our Christian walk, I need to be a better this. I got to be a better that. I need to pray more. And all those things are probably true. But we focus on the behavior when we're starting with faulty beliefs. You see, I can focus on my child's behavior until the sun goes down, and I can maybe manipulate them into good behavior, but I have not captured their hearts. Marty and I talk about this all the time. We're always doing assessments. Do I have my kids' hearts? Because their behavior needs to flow out of their beliefs. It needs to flow out of their hearts. Otherwise, they're just performing for mom and dad. They're just not getting in trouble. But they're not becoming the young men and women that I want them to be. Same with you. If you're just performing for God, if you're just going to church and, like Angie said earlier, putting on your fake smile face, your church face, you know, like if we're just performing because we're so locked into this belief that I'm not loved, that I'm not worthy, that I'm not good enough, that fill in the blank, that God doesn't really love me, that I'm not really forgiven, that and whatever it is, if that's not solved in our life, if that's not concrete, then our behavior is just going to be an act and not on purpose. We're not trying to be a hypocrite. We're not trying at all. We have good hearts, but we have wrong beliefs. So we talked about that. Behavior follows belief. The last point that we got to last time is we have, say have, because this is lost and found. This is the found part. We have all we need in Christ. That was the big point. And the verse was Philippians 3, 8, and 9. What is more, I consider everything a loss. What is everything? The good things, the bad things, the mediocre things, the things I was hanging on to, the things that I was proud of. I consider all of that a loss. So if I lump that all in the lost category, then I have the freedom to gain all things. Because of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ. Yeah, so good. I don't remember what my next, and be found in him, so that went on further there. So, the heart of what this message really is all about, the heart of this series, as we were at Pastor's Conference I don't know, was that just a week and a half ago? That seems like 2 months ago. As we were at pastor's conference and we were finishing up with that, we were talking about, I had this stirring in my heart for a series. And the verse that we're going to start with is actually the verse that Barb quoted up there this morning, which I thought was so cool. Those little, like Angie's little things. There's a verse in the Bible that says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the small things of God, because those are all around us. And when we get good at stewarding the small things, God can trust us with giving us bigger things and letting us, because we miss all the small things all the time. So I loved that little moment when Barb shared that verse. So we're going to go there in a second, but it's this idea of contrasting God's way of doing things, like kingdom ways of doing things, with natural ways of doing things, the way that we normally would do things, because we're flesh, we have human emotions, we have a human mind and intellect, and all those things are good, but they're not complete, and they're certainly not always redeemed. Sometimes we have Angry Birds on our phones. So I know it's kind of hard to, we haven't really got to a point where we can really wrap our head exactly around what we're talking about. But this concept was, when I was talking with Stephen and Tricia and Marnie, is we all go through struggles. We all go through, or maybe you don't. No? Everyone struggles? Okay, sometimes. We all go through loss or grief or disappointment or feeling that life is unfair, or feeling like I got treated wrongly, or I want to be offended, or this guy's really a dirty dog and I want to say more about him. And we all have to process these things. And so we could either just ignore it all and we end up with as an emotional basket case, right? Like we have to process this. My husband did this to me. My friend turned her back on me. Like, it doesn't matter. We all have these scenarios in life that we have to process our way through. And that's where kind of the lost and found came from. And so many times in those things, I lost my reputation. I lost my friend. I lost, you know, my ability to handle things. And we focus on what we don't have. And so spending time in that camp, it's really easy to try to process those with, I want to feel better, right? We feel bad. Like, I've lost something. I'm in grief. I'm offended. I'm walking through whatever. And so I want to process that with my emotions. I want someone to come up alongside of me and say, oh, honey, you didn't deserve that. I can tell by your smiles that you've been in the exact same spot. We do. Like, stroke me some more and tell me how wonderful I am and how I didn't deserve that and how life is unfair to me. Yeah, tell me a little higher. Tell me, right? We do. Or get an email and say, you don't deserve this, whatever, whatever. And that's kind of the world's way. It's the natural way. And you can get through things with those resources. It's not that it's impossible. And it's not that all of those are bad or evil. We have to process our emotions. We have to use our mind and our intellect to think through things. But they should be in proper context. And so those things are really easy for us because it's natural. It's natural to want to be sad and react and get angry and say, all right, I just need to not be so angry. And, you know, it's kind of just this natural processing of how, and we all have different methods. Maybe we need to go cool down or whatever. Some of those can be great tools. But if that's the only way that we can walk through these tough times, then we're just on a roller coaster. Every time we get in the middle of one of these, we're just like, how am I going to make it through this one now? And the other option is, instead of focusing on what we've lost, instead of just processing it with the tools that I have right now, I got to think better, I got to try to not feel so bad, I want someone to come and stroke my ego and tell me, you're right, you don't deserve all of this. Instead of that, I can think about Jesus, who didn't deserve all of that either. I can think about what I have now being in Christ. Say, in Christ.
In Christ.
In Christ. I now have this wealth of resources. I have all these tools available to me, and I have things that I can't see, because you know where they're at? They're in the heavenly realms. They come from heaven. They come from the Holy Spirit. They come from the realm that I can't see. I can touch it. I can be a part of it. I'm in Christ, but I feel my emotions right now, and I see my thoughts that I'm struggling with. So how do I access all of these tools? How do I get a hold of the things that I really need to? It starts by focusing on what we do have, the lost and found. I've found this. I've been found in Christ now. So now I have all of these things. They belong to me. But we have to access them. And that's the tricky part. So if I keep doing things like I've always done them, I'm going to keep getting the same roller coaster effect when I go through grief or loss or frustration or someone's wronged me or I've been offended and I want to go just tackle them and pound them on the head. Or I can figure out a way to start accessing the things that God's given me because they're already mine. I've been raised up, it says in Ephesians, and seated in heavenly places. That's where I'm living my life from. But most days it feels like I'm under a rock and struggling to get right. So somehow I've got to get from where I'm at and access all the stuff that's up over here. And so we're going to go to the verse that Barb was sharing earlier. And it says, this is Peter and John, and this is Acts chapter 3. What chapter does the book of Acts start with? Trick question. It starts with 1, okay? Starts with 1, and then the beginning of chapter 2, we're talking about Pentecost, okay? So they're still just waiting for Jesus to come and pour out the Holy Spirit on them. So we're only in Acts chapter 3 now. This is the beginning of the new church, okay? They had just gone through the loss of Jesus, and they were scared, and they were sad. They were struggling with grief. This is all of the things that we were just talking about. How did they process that? Well, first of all, they hid. Second of all, they were scared. And that wasn't working really well. And then Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they had this experience with God. And so now they're walking along and this is Peter and John who've just come out of grief. They've just come out of a huge loss in their life. They've just come out of, we thought Israel was going to get restored and we thought that, you know, Jesus is going to restore his kingdom and now he's not and we're so sad. They found something in the presence of God and they found that they owned something. And so we see him here. This man, he's begging at the gate and he saw Peter and John about to enter and he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you. Stop there." Silver and gold, natural or supernatural? Natural. He said, "You asked me for silver or gold. I don't have silver or gold. Most of us, end of story. Go ask someone else." Right? But because they were carrying something different, because they had something else. So often in our lives, we want to stop at, "I don't have this." Well, I feel like God's calling me to do this, or pastor asked me to do that, or I feel there's this need at my work, and we stop at the natural, but I don't have. And we get really good at rehearsing what we don't have. I don't have. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the smarts. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the resources. I don't have the courage. I don't have the strength. I don't have the vision. I don't have fill in the blanks. And we hamstring God's process in our life because we stop right there. I don't have. Peter didn't deny that he didn't have. He's like, "You're right. I don't have it. But, ooh, watch this. How about I tell you what I do have? I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." How many of you think that he was more excited about being healed than he would be about $20, right? Like, when you're focused on what you don't have and that's all you can see, you miss out on what people really want and really need because often they don't know. And often in our own lives, we don't even know. We're so focused on what we don't have. I'm so crippled by this. I can't get through this. I can't do this and sludge and trudge. Instead of saying, "God, what do you have for me? What do I have in Christ?" And really start picking apart that. Peter and the rest of the disciples went through an amazing experience in the upper room. They're what I call expressions. There was an expression of the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire, you know, they were speaking in other tongues. This morning in worship, we had an expression. We had an expression of worship to God. There was different words. There was testimonies. There was an expression of what God has done in my life. When we pray, it's an expression of our needs to God. We express that, right? Does that make sense? It was an expression. So these guys went through an expression of the Holy Spirit in the upper room and got to see the power of God move in a unique way. But we need to turn these expressions into possessions. They walked out of there carrying something that they didn't have before. How many times have we been in church and we're like, ooh, that was really good. And you're like, while you're sitting there, you're like, yeah, that's great. You're like, so good. And you're like, high five afterwards. Wasn't that good? That was good. And you walk out and 20 minutes later, they're like, how was church? Man, it was great. What was it about? I don't know. Like, do you feel that you're different now because of it? I'm hungry. Hungrier than I was when I went into church. We can't just hear and experience these expressions and then just let them just slide off our shoulders and say, wow, that was really good. In our Bible time, our devotions, in our prayer life, we have these expressions, but are we taking these little God moments and are we doing little tools like Angie does? Write them down. I'm going to write this down. I'm going to take note of this. I'm going to take stock of this. I'm going to put a mark here. I'm going to mark my Bible, and I'm going to come back to this tomorrow because I'm struggling with this. And then you know what? The next day, I'm going to come back to this very spot, and I might even put one more underline on it. And like we start taking these expressions, and we turn them into possessions. Like, I have this. I have this now. Let's go to the next verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12 says this. We have received. Say received. Received. I have this. It's something I have. It's the Spirit of God. We've received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. There's a wealth of heaven that is at your disposal. Then that's what we're hopefully going to, if we can ever get past the introduction, we're going to talk about some of those things. But God has placed things in your life that are available for us to walk through, not just the bad times, but the good times as well. He's given us all these incredible characteristics of God and blessings from heaven that's so easy to ignore because it's not natural. It's supernatural. It's not easily accessible. We have to be intentional about grabbing a hold of them. You see, all of the things from heaven come by belief and by faith. They come by belief and by faith. All the things of earth come by feeling and thinking. Does that make sense? The way we react, the things that we want from earth come by feeling and by thinking. The ways of heaven comes by belief and by faith. We have to activate our faith to grab a hold of the things that God's already given us. They're already ours. We don't need to beg him for them, but we need to grab a hold of them and make them ours. As God reveals them, as we're reading his word, as something jumps in our spirit. And that's where this verse came from. Not this one, but the one in Acts. I was at the pastor's conference and I was listening to a guy preach. And this was just a verse he was using as he was skirting on to another point. And when he said that, what I have, I give to you. I'm like, whoa, it jumped in me. So I spent the rest of the pastor's conference working on this series, and I missed all the stuff that the people were saying, but Stephen and Tricia and Marnie filled me in on all the good stuff that was going on there. But I was so just captured by this because I'm like, man, we need this. We need to know what we have. There's so many tools that we're not using. There's so much freedom that we're not walking in. There's so much victory to be had. And it seems like it's just out of reach because we need to get it by faith and we need to grab it by belief. And we think that I can keep on thinking the way that I've always thought and be able to access things over there. But this keeps me in the rut and I can't get over there because that's where all the good stuff is. But we like it here because this is familiar to me. So I keep rehearsing how hurt I am and how wrong this was and how sad I am. And that's real. It's legitimate. We're not ignoring that. But if I keep rehearsing that and not rehearsing the things of God, my beliefs won't change enough for me to be able to grab a hold of that. Someone will say, you can have peace, brother. I know that. right? Well, I know that. Right? That's an expression. That's knowledge. But you haven't possessed it yet. You haven't grabbed a hold and said, and come before the throne room of God and grabbed a hold and said, I'm not letting go because God, you are my peace. This boat is shaking, but you are my peace. I am hanging on to you, God. You've got this. You've got this. And I need you, and possess it by faith. You said it. I can have it. End of story. Things that God's freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. Spiritual truths. And we're going to, hopefully in the next couple weeks, tell you some of those spiritual truths that you probably already know. This isn't going to be new information. But hopefully we're going to tell them to you in a way that we together as a body can say, you're right, we're going to possess that. We're not just going to learn about it. We're not just learning in church today. We're not just going to get knowledgeable. We're going to possess. We're going to own something because God gave it to me in Christ. I can own this. I don't have to just be around. Like, for instance, you can carry, let's just, for instance, we're talking about peace. You can carry peace. We were at a friend's house the other night, and another friend of ours likes to be at our place or around us because we carry, or Marnie anyways, carries peace. And this other friend of ours, in my Angry Bird phase, I needed a little peace in my life. So we went and spent some time with people of peace, my mom and dad. My friends used to come to their house in high school boys, drunken skunks, and talk about the peace that's in my mom. That's like, these are unspiritual people. And they would sense peace. Like that wasn't an expression. That was a possession. You see what I mean? You see the difference? They just didn't, like, you didn't have to tell them, you know, you can have peace in your house. Like, we know. Just step into it. Like, they carried it. It was a part of their lives. And so, phone's buzzing. Spiritual word to explain spiritual truths. Here's the third point. If we can get there. God's truths are more than intellectual facts. They have the power to transform lives. Guys, you got to know this. We've got to get this. The truth of God's word, heaven's truths, what God's speaking to us, those truths aren't just knowledge. You're not just getting smarter. You're not just increasing information. And you can stop there. You can stop with silver and gold I don't have. You can stop there. Smarter I am, right? I learned today that we can have peace in our life. Well, yay, like we should be growing in the knowledge of God, but we need to get to a point where we take these truths for what they are, supernatural containers of God's movement in our lives. These truths have more ability than just to make us smarter, just to give us knowledge. They transform us, but they have to become part of us. They've got to become a part of who we are. John 8:32 says this, you will know the truth and you'll get smarter because you know the truth, right? You'll have more knowledge because you know the truth, right? You'll just have more information because you know the truth, right? No. What does the rest of it say? The truth will set you free. You're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. The truth is going to have movement in your heart and life. The truth is going to have impact in your spirit. It's going to empower you to be the man and woman of God that you're supposed to be. There's empowerment in God's truth. And so often as a church, we're like, I need to know a little bit more. And we do. We do need to know more. But we need to go beyond that. We need to have silver and gold, and we need to go to what I also have. The possession of these truths, that no matter what's going on around me, no matter what I'm feeling, I might feel like no peace. Everything around me saying, there's not peace here. And I can stand in the middle of that storm and have the peace of God because I have that truth. I'm not relying on my circumstances or my emotions to tell me the truth of God is real. I'm relying on the truth of God to tell me that the truth of God is real. Right? I get it. It's a little hard to wrap our heads around, but Jesus told us that truth will set you free. Truth will cause movement in your life. Whoops. This is a little tricky. This is the last part, the third verse in those two verses that we read earlier. People who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It sounds like foolishness to them. I get it. Messages like this where we're talking about things that they're out there and they're in the heavens and we need to grab them. And like, it sounds kind of dumb sometimes. Just tell me how I'm supposed to get through getting fired last week, right? Because we're so comfortable in the natural. We're so comfortable in the natural that the supernatural sounds foolish to us. We're so comfortable with our emotions, with our intellect, that the supernatural, that belief in faith being a means to increase in our life, being a means to process through things, sounds silly. But not to you people, because you're spiritual. And you just let this soak in. Just let it sink in that okay, there's another way. There's another way. All right, that's what he's telling me. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds, okay? Now we're starting to bridge the gap here. We're going to set our minds, the natural thing that we've been struggling with. It's our mind that's kept us rehearsing these offenses, our loss, our struggle. It's not fair, blah, blah, blah. I'm tired, can't do it. I don't have what it takes. We set our minds on those things because we're fleshly. Let's not be that anymore. Say no more.
No more.
Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Yes, we have to focus on what we have, the things of God in our life. I'm going to finish up. We can't expect... Here, let me just make this point. I don't have a slide for it. I know I went crazy on slides. It's my first run with PowerPoint. We can't expect to make spiritual progress by natural means. So it might seem like foolishness, but we can't expect to make spiritual progress using natural means. I can't just feel my way into being more spiritual. I can't just give myself a little pep talk. And those things are good. We need those things. But I need to access spiritual things if I want spiritual growth. And that seems like foolishness. It seems silly. Well, I just need to try harder, do better, blah, blah, blah. Maybe we need to be a little more disciplined, but let's get that from the right belief. Let's go to this last section here. 2 Peter, this is our last set of verses. For this very reason, make every effort. Okay, so we need to do better. It's talking about positioning ourselves. We need to take steps. For this reason, take steps. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And add to goodness knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness or mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. Okay, stop here for a second. There's one more page after this, or a couple more, but... If this was describing you, do you feel like you would be looking more like Christ? Like if this is the process that you were experiencing, I think you would. I think, and we should, and it is. We're adding to our, we're not just sticking with faith. Well, I've got faith. We're all people of faith, but we're adding to that. No, like let's live it out. Goodness, like let's just do good things. Let's be kind to people. And the goodness, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control. Oh, I can say no to the third plate of cake. Okay. To self-control, perseverance, hanging in there when times are tough. These are all characters of God, by the way. It's part of his nature. It's who he is. And to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. We're adding all of these on top of each other. We're starting to look like a Christian. We're starting to look like a Christ follower. For if you possess these things, not just know about them, we said expression into possession. Possession. It's not just knowledge. If these become a part of us, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, more and more, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. How many think that's a good thing? I don't want to be ineffective. Marnie and I, this little side note, Marnie and I all the time, not all the time, sometimes, when we're having a down time, when we've done youth and one person showed up, when we did a party and it was a flop, when we counseled with people and they still made the same bad choice after we poured our heart and soul and we thought we really connected and it all fell apart, when people that walked with Christ walk away, we sit there some nights and we lay in bed and we go, are we making any difference at all to anyone, anywhere? And I know those aren't good thoughts, and we don't dwell on them because that's not good. But I want to be productive. I want to be effective. I want my life to count for something. I want Jesus to look and see him reflected out of me. So if you don't have these, so say that doesn't exemplify your life. Say that doesn't describe your experience. If you don't have these, you're nearsighted and blind. Now listen, here's what this verse is not saying. It's not saying you're not trying hard enough. It's not saying you just need to learn a little bit more. It's saying you're nearsighted and blind, forgetting that you've been cleansed from your past sins. Behavior follows belief. He said, if you don't have, you know, add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and knowledge self-control, brotherly kindness love, and all the other ones I forgot in there. If you don't have that, you've got a bad belief in your head. That's what he's saying. You've forgotten that you've been cleansed of your past sins. So what are you thinking? You're thinking that you're guilty. I'm not forgiven. If you're not producing fruit in your life, then you're not convinced that you're forgiven. Ooh. Now, at the very beginning of the verse, it said make every effort. So it's saying that you need to make decisions and choices to line yourself up with that. But at the very end, it says if you're struggling with it, it's not try harder. It's get your beliefs right. If you're not looking like you're going from faith all the way through that list to love, if you're not seeing that, you've got some bad beliefs. You're starting at a place where you're not convinced that I'm forgiven. Where I wake up every morning, God, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us. God, I don't want to do any more wrong. Forgive me the wrong I've done. And now I stand here clean, spotless, cleansed by the blood of Christ. Nothing against me. When we live from that place, guess what? We want to start producing fruit. Like, I want to love people. I just want to serve God because he forgave. Like, I know it's not just an expression. I possess that. I'm forgiven. So the very last thing. These are what we learned today. These are what we have. I'm in Christ. I have that. I'm in him. I belong to him. I'm seated in him. I have his Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity of God, lives inside you to help you, to comfort you, to give you strength. And I am forgiven. I am forgiven. I don't have to go to the board. I don't have to call a special meeting. I don't have to take a survey. If Jesus says I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. I can live from freedom. And I can tell you the difference between living in insecurity and living from the security of Jesus Christ. Living in out of weakness and not being sure about what God thinks of me, and living from that place of safety and life. And so this is the end of our introduction. Next week, we're going to get into what else do we have. We see three now. What else do we have in Christ? How can I start owning some of these things? How can I take things from knowledge? How can I start possessing the things of God that are all around me in the heavenly places? The Bible says we've been given everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything. Everything.